Blog Talk Radio.
Here on a bright Sunday morning, coming to you from the frat house. And see, grab yourself a cup of hot coffee. First and foremost, we hope a wonderful Sunday. That's coming to you from all of us here at Frat House Sports, Frat House Sports Radio Network. This could be one of the busiest weekends. This town as the biggest day in sports. It'd be hard to argue. I mean, just listen to this. They had Formula One. Well, we had. Formula One. Monaco Grand Prix Monte Carlo. That's located in French Riviera. That got underway at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. And I'll be honest, and I did see some of that. At 7:30, I did roll over. I looked at the clock. I said, well, I can off right now. And then I went back the other way for another hour or so. But I did get it. I did have that. Outstanding. View. Wonderful. At that case, very interesting. Young driver, Max, 17-year-old, was running well. He was all the way down. Involved in just particular rack. The total run was running at the time of broadcast, and it was just spectacular. Amazingly, the youngster stepped out of the vehicle and walked away. But in fact, Germany was featured at the podium. Gosberg won a record time at the Monaco Grand Prix. He's fourth all time to have won that three consecutive times. Hamilton, I believe, was probably the on favorite. He started pole. But that's kicked off because he had 100.
Uh-oh, it looks like we've lost our host here. Hope everybody can bear with us. We're trying to get this resolved. Hey, Sidekick, you out there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah, now I can. I didn't know if it'd still go without the host. I didn't know how that worked, to be quite honest.
Yep.
Yeah, I think his connection was having
some
kind of issue.
We're virgin territory here, you know?
Hey, as well, yeah, I was kind of listening, you know, to what Uncle Mark was saying there, you know, talking about the F1 race this morning. Sounded pretty, like a pretty good deal. I mean, Nico Rosberg won his third in a row, putting him in a rare error with, like, two other Formula One drivers to win this race three in a row. So that's kind of cool. We already have a little record-breaking day starting out the great day of motorsports.
Yeah, Schumacher. I think he's in air with Schumacher and Nasser.
Yeah, something along those lines. I think we might be getting Mark back. You back, Mark? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
There we go.
Hey, there we go. But, dude, how about Hamilton? That dude must be pissed.
Yeah, he looked a little annoyed with his crew at the end of that.
I mean, you want to talk about, you know, starting from the pole, just dominating that race. They call him into the pits, and third place.
Yeah, he was probably a bit annoyed. he actually sat in there. I was watching at the end. He kind of rolled in there and, you know, just kind of sat there for a bit.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to get out of the car.
He didn't have much to say to anybody, you know. Yeah. So, and then you had that Van Steppen wreck. Like,
yeah.
Holy cow, that thing looked bad.
We got off to a nice little start so far with our motorsports day here.
Yeah. A little early, but, yeah.
Yeah. Are you still with us, Mark? I don't know. Mark, you still with us? I think we're having issues again.
Yep.
Well, we can guess. I guess we should just get into it then. I mean, we'll do the best we can.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, next up, we got the 99th thing of the Indy 500.
Yep.
That ought to be, a pretty fair. Wow. Okay, there's all kinds of issues going on. I think Fred House Mike's having trouble getting back in, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think Blog Talk or Skype, one of them's having a hard time today. Anyway.
Yeah, well, we got the Indy 500 coming up today.
99.
Yep. So we'll have to see how the actual, I guess, race goes. Because, talk about there's been a lot of drama leading up to the Indy. All these wrecks, drivers in now the hospital and subs filling in and tweaking setups. And
well, Hinchcliffe had the worst of it. I mean, they were saying, I read an article that after his wreck that he had severe bleeding from one of his legs. It sounded like he got the femoral artery, and
ooh.
they really had to get with it to keep him from having a severe bleeding out issue. I think that was the way that case rolled out. But yeah, that was not good. I mean, IndyCar has been trying to tweak the rules to try to get these guys a little safer. Too many flips happening. So you got to give him credit for at least trying to address the situation. I guess that's just the nature of the beast when you're going 220 miles an hour in a car that's super aerodynamic. I guess when it catches air the wrong way, it flips up and, that's it. Not much you can do.
Yeah, those cars, especially in those cars, I mean, they're built all with downforce.
Yeah, and they get going the wrong way, that downforce becomes lift, unfortunately.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it should be an interesting race, though. I think the Indy 500 is always one of those. I read an interesting little tidbit about the ticket prices this year. They were $185 is the average ticket price to go to that race still. And that kind of shocked me, considering, how much trouble others are, like NASCAR and other sports are having getting people in the stand. And, it's just, surprising.
Right. Well, God, I remember, back in the heyday of the Indy 500, what was it? It was a four or five-year waiting list to get tickets to that event, back when I was a youngster, all those decades ago.
Well, I think back then, I mean, it was by far the biggest, U.S. racing going. I mean, NASCAR was just kind of picking up, getting its legs under it. You know what I mean? So I think that's why you probably had, different things as far as that goes. But anyway, so yeah.
And then we've got our favorite.
Yeah.
We got the Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte, the longest race of the season.
Yep, it is, by mileage and time, it seems. I think I vaguely remember this race taking about four and a half hours already without any kind of rain delays or, things slowing it down. It just takes that long to run because, 600 miles is 600 miles.
Yeah. So
and
we'll have to.
Even at speeds, it's, very tough.
Yeah.
I mean, we got, Joe Gibbs Toyotas look pretty strong. You got Kenseth on the pole and Carl Edwards in third and Denny Hamlin in fifth, who just happened to win the shootout last week. So, yep. You know, we're in pretty good shape there. And even Kyle, I think, is like 15th or 16th. So they're all, you know, in the top 20 for sure.
Yep. Well, you know, Kyle. You know, oh, Kyle's just going to be all sorts of aggressive this week. You know.
I agree.
I'm sure he'd be doing cartwheels. The fact that he's back in a racing car.
Well, I don't know that his legs would take that yet, but if he could, he would be doing cartwheels.
Yeah, and he's got the new kid. You know.
Yeah, and we had Brad Keselowski also having a new kid one day apart. They had a daughter and a boy, and believe it or not, they were already asking these guys questions about whether their kid's allowed to date. Are you kidding me? I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw that. I posted it in the Frat House Sports NASCAR fantasy group page because I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous that they're asking these guys, because these guys are, you know, a little bit of on-track rivals and, you know, kids are like 3 days old and you're asking this question, really?
Yeah, they're already trying to play matchmaker and hook them up, you know?
They're a day apart.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Question will be, will we see Kyle Busch's daughter dominating?
Well, maybe. Wait a minute. Kyle had the boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Keselowski had the girl.
I'm sorry. Gone backwards.
Yeah. Well, they probably, it seems to me today a lot of the kids do follow parents. And we've had precedent, you know, there's nothing saying a daughter couldn't race.
Yeah. Well, we still got Danica in there.
Danica's in there. I think there's another female up-and-comer who has family ties to, you know, former NASCAR guys. I'm not sure which family tree it's from at the moment, but I think it might be, somebody maybe from the Allisons, you know, or in that area maybe, that have, you know, some young females, you know, that are racing that are potential future NASCAR people. So that's kind of cool. I think we got our host back. Mark, are you back?
Oh, we'll see for how long, yeah.
Hey, there we go.
Well, you guys are doing fine. I'm going to sit back and relax.
Well, we were just kind of covering in while you were having connection issues here. So I don't know where you want to help guide us here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure what we last did. You chat at all about the Indy 500 coming up?
Yeah, we were kind of just going about, you know, just basically touching on the events of the day, and we just talked about it for a few minutes, a little bit about some of the accidents, nothing major.
Yeah,
we were kind of just waiting our time to see if you could get, you know, back in here, and then we were just touching on the next one, which is a 600.
Yeah, see, Uncle Mark was lurking in the background. He was just sitting here doing this.
Ah.
he was sitting back chilling.
Yeah. The accidents are really, I don't know what to say. Evidently, Chevrolet is coming under some scrutiny because the Hinchcliffe accident, which was the most severe that we saw of the four that occurred during practice sessions, they're actually looking at that as more of an issue with the vehicle rather than the aero kit, because that he was using a Honda aero kit. But the other three, Castaneves and the two Americans that each were involved in flips or crashes, were all using this Chevrolet-designed aero kit. And, I believe it. What it did was it had changed the structure for those Chevy aero kit cars for qualifying, right? I believe they reduced their horsepower and they had to make a couple other modest changes. In fact, those vehicles that they used for qualifying, they must use again for today's race. And it's going to be interesting, hopefully not devastating, but it's going to be interesting to watch that race unfold today, because I guess these aero kits, you know, this is something IndyCar wanted to do, right? Kind of change things up.
So, Uncle Mark, you're saying that Ryan Newman may have been giving them some technical advice?
Yeah. Ryan,
well, it's probably not too far from like a NASCAR, you know, aero package deal. Like they, like the teams have to run different size spoilers at Daytona and Talladega and different skirting and et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of along those same lines as these aero packages are probably, you know, more unique to this Indy track being a, you know, a flat 2.5 mile track versus, you know, some of the other ovals they run on or a road course. They probably have different packages. And you're right. They made them change a ton. I mean, they made them change, a couple factors of it. I mean, I'm not a engineer, so I can't really say specifically what parts of the car they made them change. I also heard they made them not run. They have a turbo boost button that they're allowed to run. I think they flat out eliminated it for qualifying. I don't think they wanted any part of that because I think they were assuming that was leading to at least the increasing the severity of the accidents.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Now today, of course, we're going to be, I don't know how hungry you guys are, but we're not done as far as even with the 600, the Coca-Cola 600. NHRA is running out in Kansas Nationals, 27th annual, this week at Heartland Park in Topeka. Fred Hike threatened that he will come on and tell us all about the leaderboard.
The sound drop board.
If really still hungry, Encore broadcast of evening in Glen Helen Raceway. Tell me a little bit about that, Brandon.
Oh yeah, that was interesting yesterday. We got Eli Tomac, the factory Geico Honda rider. So far, out of four motos, he has won four motos. And he's not only won them, he's won them in convincing style. One of the motos last week, he won by 1.5 minutes. He was undressed, sitting there getting ready to be interviewed while second place called across the line. His helmet off, his goggles off, his gloves off, had a drink of water, wiped his face down, all that before the second place guy ever crossed the line. So, yeah, it's a pretty good start for that team. They were kind of joking this week. Well, we are a little closer. He only beat us by 30 seconds, so we found a minute. We now just got to find the other half.
Holy crap.
So,
wow. Can you imagine?
And to top it off, they're going to his home track in Colorado, which he's always dominated in because he trains in Colorado. He's used to the air, and the other guys all have problems when they go out there. So we could see six in a row for Eli Tomac. Six motos in a row if he wins next week.
Wow. Outstanding. What else? NASCAR K&M Pro Series. They ran a General Store 150 a few days ago, but I believe if you troll around, you'll find Encore broadcasts of that running too. That's an interesting race because it actually features. It's one of two annual combination races where K&M East and West both compete together in the same event. So wow. There's a lot of racing going on.
Wasn't there a familiar name who won that all-star race this past week? I think they broke in during the Charlotte thing. I think it was Larry McReynolds' son won the East-West Shootout K&N race last week.
Very cool. Yeah,
His first win in that series. So we might see another, NASCAR name showing up in the near future.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And I believe Kenseth's son, right? I believe he's running the K&N series as well. Another familiar name. You never know. We might turn up and see, the next generation. Here we go with the next generation. All right. Well, look, I guess what we could do, we could turn our attention back to what was that snooze fest. I thought it was. I don't know what you all thought of the All-Star race. If you guys found my explanation last week of the RC tire Deflategate situation confusing, I think NASCAR one-upped everybody. So using rules for pre-event qualifying and running order leading up to the final 10-lap shootout, last week, something boiled down to Hamlin won the thing after 4 hours. TV coverage began near 7 p.m. The check was finally presented to Hamlin at 11:15 p.m. I don't know who stayed up for the whole thing. I don't know. Any thoughts on the All-Star? Why do we keep tweaking this race? Was it compelling? I didn't see much really on action, on-track action that was compelling. Keselowski won two of the segments. Kurt Busch actually looked dominant. He won the first one. What were your thoughts? All-Star dud, I thought.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. You didn't see any aggressive driving. There was nobody bumping and knocking people out of the way, trying to, you know, to get up there, you know, win it or go home. I think the closest thing we saw to it was Brad Keselowski trying to get out of pit road first that got caught speeding. And his comments after the race were, well, it was the only way I was going to win. If I wasn't out in front, I wasn't going to win. So I went for it, and, you know, I got caught. So basically that's about the most daring move I think we saw, which is kind of out of character for this event. This event's usually, you know, they show highlights there, you know, previous ones where, you know, half the field's in a steaming pile and they're all mad at each other and pit crews are rumbling. I mean, the classic one of the Rusty Wallace and Darrell Waltrip, you know, teams going at it. Yeah, it looked like a brawl in the infield with all the teams around each other. We didn't have any of that. It was kind of, like you said, snooze fest. I don't know. What do you think, Sidekick?
Well, I thought it was an okay race. I mean, it, you know, it wasn't spectacular, but, you know, I thought it was entertaining. I, you know, now granted, when I watched it, I was, in Fred House Sports Midwest, so we're an hour behind, so it's not as late, for us out there, you know, but it was, I mean, you know, it was an okay race. You know, I do see where they were complaining about basically everybody up front. You know, as long as you're up front, you were all right. But you couldn't pass anybody if you were behind.
See, that's where, when they had talked about using the 2016 rules package, I think that would have been the way to go, because that's what everybody's complaining about on the intermediate tracks like this current rules package. It's kind of like if you're out front, you know, you got an advantage, and it's really hard to make hay to get up to the front. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed that NASCAR decided to pull the plug on that, you know, test for this other package they wanted to run it. There's a lot of, talk within the NASCAR garages on some of their shows. They were all kind of looking forward to trying that out. So I wish they would have, but unfortunately they didn't do that, so.
Right. Yeah, yep. And to your point, Sidekick, I mean, you know, a couple outspoken drivers included Dale Jr. and Kevin Harvick on the whole idea of how late this thing got going. One or both of them mentioned, listen, if you want the best, most compelling product, you want to run these cars when it's warm, you know, and more like a noon East Coast start would be better, even though obviously the temperatures at the track, the temperatures in the car would be higher. They realized that the product would possibly be better. And as you say, in France Midwest, okay, it was an hour behind. I guess on the left coast, it was 2 or 3 hours behind, so it wasn't quite so late. But here we are. We're hosting this thing on the East Coast. It is touted. I mean, my goodness, you know, they have this elaborate introduction ceremony of all of these drivers, and I mean, talk about a made for television event. It certainly appears that way, but I didn't think the on-track product was very good. And quite frankly, if you're going to try and get, I guess, younger demographic, I don't know that starting green flag at 9:45 on the East Coast on a Saturday night is going to be how you're going to attract a younger audience, because when I was a younger person in my 20s, at 9:45 on a Saturday night, I'm not sitting home waiting for a green flag of some auto race. I mean, am I wrong?
I think you're right on there.
What would Judge?
No, I think you're definitely right on.
Judge Judy would probably tell me, I don't know, you're an idiot, but.
Well, I mean, maybe you know, a mid-afternoon start would be better in a circumstance like that. You might have a chance of keeping younger people interested. You know, they might not be, like you said, wait until the evening to go out. You know, you have a 2 o'clock in the afternoon start, or 3, maybe. I wouldn't go much later. And that could engage, you know, better times across the country as the time zone goes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. That might not be a bad idea.
Well, you know what Frat House Mike always has to say about nighttime?
What's that?
Yes, to good friend. Ah. Tonight is kind of special. Here we'll pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight.
Yeah, so maybe they do need to start this race a little earlier. Yeah, that way we can all go out drinking.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I guess, you know, the VP, Hilton, had said, we'll consider that. We'll take that under assessment. But I don't know. Just speaking for myself, and, you know, we had interest in Frat House Sports to watch the race, and, of course, we did. But I don't think I'm alone in saying, you know, geez, I mean, holy crow, all the pre-race activity in that was fine. But, I mean, at the end of it, It was a very late finish. It was not a terribly satisfying finish, in my view, for the reasons we've all kind of expressed here. And I think something should be done. You know, perhaps, I don't know, if you want to just, you know, do it like other all-star events, maybe other sports are doing, and you move it to another track. Certainly, I think an earlier start time would be advisable for them going forward, because I didn't think it was exciting enough as a fan. I think it was exciting enough to sit up for after it was all said and done. As I say, I found it to be somewhat unsatisfying. You know, the fan vote, we had the popular fan vote. It was a crying shame in my view, that Martin Truex could not make his way in on speed and qualify that way. And evidently he did not win the fan vote. The fan vote went to Danica Patrick for the second time in 3 years. There was one year in between. I believe it was last year Josh Wise got voted ahead of her. This was the first time, and a lot of folks would say, well, it wasn't unexpected. You know, Danica is very, very popular driver, so, you know, of course she's going to probably command the votes. But interestingly enough, I read a report those votes is the slimmest margin in the history of the fan vote, and of course NASCAR at least, you know, the runner or vote tally, so we have no idea if we won by two votes as the most people to get into that. Just a is it disappointing or expect 20th position at the end of it all? But I don't know. Is it right? Something about it. Does that make me go,
Yeah, well, you know what it is.
I'm crazy.
It's who she is.
She's the only woman. That's why. You know, the fans, the women fans are sticking up for her, you know?
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, I think any year that, let me rephrase, until she gets a win and automatically gets in, I think you're going to see Danica in the all-star race.
Are you predicting Danica's going to get a win?
No.
You said until she gets a win. You made it sound like it's a foregone conclusion Danica's going to get a win.
Well,
I'd be shocked to see her sidekick predict that.
No, I'm not. I am not in any way predicting she's going to get a win. But basically, the only way you're going to see her not win the All-Star vote is to get a win, Junior not get a win in a season, okay, because she's the most popular. The only reason that Josh Wise won last year, and this wouldn't have been Danica's third year in the All-Star race, is because of Reddit and Bitcoin last year, or Dogecoin last year, ran this huge internet campaign to get Josh Wise voted in. Remember
yeah,
that
worked.
Whole thing?
Yeah,
and they, and
yeah.
You know,
didn't he have it for at least one race?
Yeah. It'd be nice if somebody would have did that for Truex, because I think everybody wanted to see Truex get in.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think that would have been
passed away, but I don't know. I guess, those internet movements, how they get started is, a bit of a mystery, because I'm sure, it's been tried, and sometimes they take off and sometimes they don't. Josh Wise happened to be on the end of a receiving end of a good one.
Right. Because I'm sure, all the Reddit users are not NASCAR fans. But when they said, hey, you've got a big social movement, you say, hey, everybody go vote for, we're sponsoring our driver. Go vote for our driver, regardless of whether you watch NASCAR or not. You've got the swing there. So, I just have this feeling that as long as Danica is in NASCAR and does not have a win, you will see her in the All-Star race.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, unfortunately.
So, the question will NASCAR go and start tweaking the rules now because, you start having the same person every year?
Well, they do that anyway. They always mess with the format. And I think this year's format was actually, on paper, it sounded pretty good. You had 4 25-lap segments and then a 10. I mean, that sounded like a pretty good deal, and it just kind of came off lackluster for whatever reason.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I don't know if, is 25 laps, I mean, that should be enough to create the excitement with the passing and the side-by-side action. We did see some of that. I mean, in the second and third, I'll say Keselowski dominated, and he did some of the side-by-side for a bit. He ran very well. He was able to likewise get up through the field a few times. But that 10-lap final shootout thing, to me, at a mile and a half, under the rules package we have now, with the clean air being what it is, it's kind of dirtied and sullied the racing product. It's almost as though 10 laps wasn't near enough for what you really needed in that final shootout. Maybe the final shootout should be like a 15 lap so that your tires come in and that, maybe you can get some momentum. I'm not sure,
That actually may not be a bad idea, because I think the cars do become more level playing field as their tires start to wear down and the gas tank starts to get empty and, they kind of become more, a driver has to, get on top of the wheel a little more. They're not as easy to drive. Maybe they get a little unruly towards the end of the run. Yeah, that
right.
might not be the way. That might be a bad way. Not bad, a bad way. Make that last segment the longest segment instead of the shortest.
Right. Yeah, exactly. 15, 15, 15, 20, 25, something like that, or 15, 15, 15, 20, 20. Something to change it up, switch it up. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's obvious. Sidekick, by the way, we can't wait until you come back east because you and Brandon will start to host this show, and then there'll be some intelligent talk. Folks, if you're out there, give us a call. Did you like the All-Star race? Did you find it a dud? Was it exciting? Let us know. 347-826-9964.
Stupid, outrageous.
Baloney.
Liar. Baby.
Dumb wise guy.
Are you kidding me? I don't know. I have no idea. I really have no clue. What we could do, gentlemen, though, is talk about a couple of the other events that did run last week, apart from the All-Star Snooze. The Camping World Truck Series was a very, very good run at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the trucks. Now, granted, different aerodynamics, a little bit different style of racing. It is a smaller field of drivers. But that Eric Jones and that Casey Kane, my God, what a outstanding finish. The North Carolina Education Lottery 200 last week. Eric Jones, what a heartbreak. Missing it by that much. What was it, 5/1,000ths of a second or something?
Yeah, it looked like a couple
bumper.
Inches.
It was an absolute photo finish, tied for second or third, I believe, closest finish in series history. You guys had a look at that, did you?
Oh, yeah. We watched it live. It was awesome. It turned out, I really felt bad for Eric Jones because it's kind of the second week in a row he had the clearly best truck in the series and had issues. The week before, he was on a not quite enough gas in the tank, and a couple other guys had a a little more gas than him, and he ended up finishing back. And this week, that caution with two to go, and this is something that we've talked about before, but it just seems more and more that NASCAR and even Fox, they even did it a little yesterday in yesterday's Xfinity race, where they almost are egging NASCAR on for a caution, saying, oh, look, this guy just bounced off their wall. There might be debris on the track. You know, it's like you can't fake it. You know, and that took away from Eric Jones. I mean, Eric Jones clearly was going to win that race before that last caution. And Casey Kane did his best. He lined up and he got there and managed to keep his truck, you know, right with Eric for two laps. So, you know, I'm not trying to take away from Casey Kane, but I feel bad for Eric Jones. And you know, NASCAR has been blamed for this, you know, trying to create endings and, you know, it almost sounds like Fox is trying to encourage them, and I'm kind of getting sick of it when it comes to the
you were pretty heated and pretty vocal last week towards the end of it. I know that, Brandon. You sat here and you did say it out loud several times animatedly. You know, why don't you guys in the booth just shut up and stop hollering for a caution? And
right.
Of course, the inevitable caution did come. As it turns out, you know, it was Junior Motorsports' first win at this level, which was fine. And, you know, I didn't have a problem that Casey Kane won it either. But wait a second. Oops. Wait a second. The truck fails post-race inspection. You know, three of the four wheels are found to be in violation. They get docked some points, but they keep the win. So, oh, geez, no harm, no foul. You know, once again, you know, as you say, Brandon, you know, you kind of wonder about the cautions. You kind of wonder about, oh, let's bunch up the field again. Oh, let's try another GWC. I don't know. That one tasted even more sour to me than the close finish and just the fact a caution came out. I don't know. What do you make of it? A lot of people were talking about Jimmy Johnson's skirt. Ooh. He wears a skirt? Well, yeah, his tire skirts, his wheel skirts were pulled out as a result of damage in the All-Star race, and everybody was crying foul. But he got simply a talking to. Meantime, here we go in the truck race, and there's all kinds of there's points taken away. There's points taken away from Dale Jr. as the owner, and after this truck infraction, what do you make of it? Double standards all over, right?
Well, double standards to a point. I would almost call for more penalties for a team gets caught, you know, out of, you know, spec at the end. They fail post-race inspection, and they're not a full-time or a regular runner in that series. That almost, because to me, think about it. You could take the approach of, hey, well, I'm only running a few truck races, or I'm only running a few Xfinity races. If I, you know, push the rules to the limit and get caught, who cares? I don't care if I lose points. And,
right.
You know,
I'm in
we'll
it
still
for,
get
I'm
our
in
win.
It for the purse. Right. I'm
right.
In it for the purse. Right.
And the fines, you know, you know, I don't know how that goes as far as, you know, taken away from the purse. But, you know, they ought to have something more severe to, you know, to make sure that these teams that are coming in and just running a handful, you know, aren't, you know, kind of shafting the regulars. Because, you know, Eric Jones is a full-time truck guy. I mean, yeah, we know we've seen him in Cup a little bit this year, and he was filling in and may still in Xfinity, you know, till Kyle's fully ready to roll. But, you know, he deserved to win that race and to have the taint of, well, yeah, okay, your front was too low on both sides and the back right rear was a little high. Okay, so basically you twisted the car so that it goes around the turn better, essentially is what they did. I think you had pointed out three of the four. I think the left rear was the only part of the car that passed post-race
inspection.
Was
in spec.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two front ones were too low, and the back right rear was too high, which if you think about it, that's how you generate downforce, and, you know, you're making the car go around the turn better. So I don't know. I don't know how NASCAR could do it, because I know NASCAR doesn't want to necessarily dissuade the big teams from going to the lower series because they need a little bit of draw power. But at the same time, you know, they should be held almost to a higher standard than the others in my book, because the others are running for a championship.
Yeah,
I don't know. What do you
take
think?
On a, yeah, sidekick. What did you think? Did you have a look at the?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always go back and forth on this with, you know, the upper guys coming down to the lower series and different things. You know, and the more we talk, the more and more it looks like you need to, you know, just drop, you know, letting these upper tier guys go and let the series stand on their own. And that.
But the problem is, though, is that the tracks don't get a lot of attendance and the TV ratings aren't the greatest. So, you know, I don't know how you deal with that.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's one of them issues, you know, that NASCAR's going to have to figure out. So, or you just let them go and let it go. But I want to go back to what you were saying, because I want to get your opinion, Brandon.
All right.
About, you know, as a fan watching the product, I used to love when NASCAR started up, the Fox coverage I thought was top tier. You know, we always hated when terrible NASCAR television came in over the summer, and then, you know, when it would switch over, you know,
right,
to
right.
whoever, you know, NBC or whoever was filling out the second part of the thing. And I always missed Fox Sports coverage of NASCAR. But it seems to me like they signed this new contract, got locked in, and they're acting like, okay, we're in, we got a contract, we're good, who cares? And the product that they're producing has gone to utter crap.
That's not a bad observation. I think Uncle Marco would agree, because we commented on it here repeatedly, that the number of commercial breaks are just out of control. And that all started from, as you pointed out, TNT and their terrible NASCAR coverage. I don't know if you know, these other networks said, hey, look, you let TNT do it, we're doing it now too.
Yeah. Well, and not even just the commercials, but just their broadcast package.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. You know,
They used to do more cool stuff than they do now. They used to do stuff with a cutaway car and show you how stuff worked and stuff. They doesn't seem to be as big a part of the show as it used to be. Now we get to do track walks with Michael Waltrip that are just, you know, mind-numbingly stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are trite, aren't they? I mean, they're trite, they're hackneyed. And ever since he spilled the taco, I mean, almost nobody wants to know from him, you know, not least of which are the drivers.
I felt bad for poor what's his name's kid that
Bryson Burns.
Yeah, you know, Waltrip was dragging him around the track
with a case full of money.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I mean, not against the kid. I think the kid did great, but he must have been like, really, I gotta do this walk with this clown. You know, I think he did a better job than Waltrip did. You know? You know, he was kind of poking and, you know, prodding at the drivers and stuff. And, you know.
Almost took A.J. Allmendinger's hand when he reached for the money. That was kind of cool.
You know, got all over Stewart for trying to take the money. And, you know, that was the best part of the segment, was having Bryce out there, you know?
I agree. And the drivers all, you know, recognized what he was doing and why he was there. And I thought that was great. That was a great respect. But
yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, he's walking with a clown. You know, it's a shame. Don't do a podcast of Red Cup and how perhaps not what it was a year ago. It seems as though the Camping World Truck and the Xfinity series have been a bit better. Even they are starting to drop off now. I mean, it's only a few weeks until NBC picks up, you know, for the balance of the year. They kick it off with July 4. So,
yep.
you know, to the point that both of you are making, you know, it's very possible Fox is realizing, hey, listen, the doors are starting to close, man. We might as well open this up. Let's just exploit whatever we can for the balance of the year and pay any bills as we possibly can, because there ain't nobody else.
That could be true. I am going to be interested, though, to see, as you brought up, the NBC package and see how they do it. Because they have a little bit of people from ESPN and some from TNT and some others even from, I think, a couple of Fox people went over there.
Yeah, they grabbed
so,
a couple Fox people, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they got a kind of a homogulation of all of it. Let's see how they put it together. I don't know who's running the show because I always thought Alan Bestwick, the guy who did the ESPN part at the end, would kind of be end up doing it, but I have not heard he got a deal. So I don't know, and I'm not sure who's going to be the Mike Joy of NBC yet. I don't know. Maybe they may not have even announced all who's going to be where yet. So I kind of just assumed, because Alan Bestwick is pretty good at, you know, calling the race and all that.
Yeah,
he came from
like
MRN.
Him.
He used to be on the radio. So he had, you know, he was very good at bringing the play by play part, I guess, is what you would say.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to be there or not.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about the NBC coverage too much was
ESPN
was. Didn't NBC do a little bit?
Not last year.
Of fill-in?
Yeah, I thought it was.
It's starting
ESPN,
this year.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
It was ESPN and TNT. TNT did six in the middle, and then ESPN ran out. There might have been one or two on ABC, too, but basically.
Or maybe it was ABC then.
Yeah, maybe
it was
ABC.
And then you're right about that. ABC picked up Bucks very nice, I think, like at Chase Time or what have
you. Yeah. Yeah, I think they had a few.
But their coverage just seemed too technical. It was almost like like watching an Indy or an F1 race. You know what I mean? The one thing I've always kind of liked about Fox prior to this year was they kind of had, you know, it wasn't so serious. There was a little bit of comedy kind of mixed in. You know, they would show the breakaway cars, and they would try to break it down, you know, make it not so technical. You know what I mean? And that, whereas, you know, you get to ESPN or ABC, and it was almost very technical. You know, it kind of got a little boring because it was all tech talk.
Yeah, well, you know, they probably were trying to swing from being the clownish, oafish Walt Tripp brothers, right. Maybe they tried to skip the other way to be a little too ecumenical and intellectual about it. You know, because one of the arguments that I hear, you know, quite often is that, well, you know, the Fox coverage is somewhat insulting. They treat the viewer as though the viewer is dumber than a box of rocks. And so I guess there might be something to be said for that. I'm not too sure. 347-826-9964. Anybody has a thought or an idea?
Uncle Mark, on that, we have one of our show friends on the line here. If you want to bring him in here, Russell Lovett. He's here. Okay, let's do that. Hey, Russell, how you doing?
Hey, hello, Russell. Good morning from Georgia, right? How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. I'm getting ready to head to one of my dirt tracks and see some dirt action and get ready. I'm not going to stay home and watch the asphalt action today. I'm going to go home and catch me some dirt action. But I just figured I'd call in the hot dog guys.
Well, that's great. That's great. What track are you heading to, and what kind of vehicles are going to be running the dirt track today?
I'm headed to Cochran Motor Speedway in Cochran, Georgia, off of 256 Wembley Road.
Okay.
They're having the national late models paying $2,000 to win, and then in the lower support classes, they're going to be paying $1,000, and the Super Street Bombers and the Pure Stocks, and they're bringing the All-Star Stock Car Series for their race, as well as the National Vintage Racing Association. They're going to be running seven classes tonight or today, and it's going to be slam full of racing action. I would stay with Ecstasy track conditioner spokesman Dane Miller. We're going down there to try to get some of that stay with Ecstasy on the track and see if we can control the dust and the breakup of the track for today, and so the fans get to see a bunch of two- and three-wide racing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. See, I mean, there you go. That's literally the grassroots stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Brandon? That's
awesome.
That's the heritage of the whole thing.
I guess Memorial Day weekend is just, that's what it is. Let's race everything we can everywhere. You know? God, I love it.
I just came from Action Pack Night in Swainsboro, actually last night in Swainsboro, Georgia. Car count was a little low because of Memorial Day, but hey, he had at least a good 7-8 cars each class except for his late models. He had 15 because they were paying $2,000 to win in their Dread Eight Series. But hey, there's a bunch of side-by-side action. There was a good race in every class, and Super Street class, it was coming down to 1 and 2, just about going through the flag stand side-by-side, and it was just great racing altogether, the great classes. And I'm expecting to see the same thing today down here at Cochran Motor Speedway as last week. It was 2, 3, and 4 wide racing going down the track. So you figure today with the extra money going on hand, you're going to bring in extra cars from the tracks that's not running and the people that's not going to the lake. So you figure there's going to be a bunch of action packed for Sunday racing because they know everybody's off on Monday. Why don't let's do a good Sunday racing? Let's get the fans up and do instead of sitting at home watching the asphalt racing. Let's bring them out, let them see some good dirt racing and sling some dirt and have a few beers with the buddies and have a good time.
Oh, that's outstanding. Outstanding. I agree with you. Boy, what a great – that is a great way to kick off. That would be a great way to kick off summer. That's the thing for me. I would love to get down. What size track are we talking, Russell? Is that 3/4 mile? Is it a half mile? What is that?
A lot of your tracks down here now and cut them back to 3/8. Insurance regulations have come in real hard on the half-mile tracks, especially in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
So a lot
okay.
of them have gone back and cut back to the 3/8. Got the banking fairly model a little flat to where it makes for the good racing in the turns and stuff. And I'm kind of taking the banking down some. Yes, it's kind of leveled itself where it's more of a driver track instead of a driver. It's more driver setup instead of the track itself to where it makes for a bunch of good racing. It's not just a couple. I'll give an example. A couple of weeks ago, these guys down here at this regular track in Cochran Motor Speedway run built motors, a lot more horsepower. Had a guy come down with a 604 crate motor. That outside mm-hmm. pole, guy with a built motor. They went into the turn, got together. The track was just right for what it needed. The crate motor spanked all the built motors. Everybody was left in awe that a crate motor come down. A little cheap crate motor outran a $10,000-$15,000 built motor. It goes to show that somehow track conditions can change anything on what it takes in a day. It's not always the bigger motor that's going to always win.
Wow, that's cool. That's always cool when you can see somebody come in and spend less money and still be competitive enough to, you know, to take the win. That's kind of cool. I like that. Gives you hope when you're, you know, not a big dollar race team, you know.
And so that's what helps out too to stay with extra sit that I'm a Dane Miller with. It makes it where the track stays tacky and bonds itself to where the track stays tacky enough for either car could if they. If either car hit theirself on a tacky track, the way it stays, it helps keep it tracked, moisture, the dust down, the track bonding together where it don't break up in the turns. It makes for a bunch of 2 and 3 wide races. We just used it in Scriven Motor Speedway down in Savannah, Georgia, last weekend, and we went and talked to the top 3 drivers. They said that was some of the best races they've ever raced on it. And there were some times in the turns you could take a blanket over the top 3 cars because they were just that close together in the turns racing 3 wide with the big late models. But anywhere from built motors to 604 and 525 running 3 wide side by side with each other, and it just makes for some awesome racing.
That is outstanding. Outstanding. Boy, I can almost visualize it, you know, Brandon? The way he describes
oh, yeah.
it, I can almost visualize it. Boy, wow.
I've seen it even in motorcycle stuff that I do where, you know, not always the most expensive top built bike out there wins. If you get somebody who can just drive a little better, has a little better setup, you know, they could win. And that's an interesting part of it. I mean, you know, we talk about the big series like Indy and NASCAR, and we all know it's all comes about down to money. But, I mean, every once in a while you'll see, you know, like you get a good, you know, wheel man, as we call it, like a Kurt Busch or a Kevin Harvick, and he's driving a car that you know ain't the fastest, but somehow they find a way to win. That's, you know, kind of the same thing. I mean, they're all big-dollar teams in NASCAR. You're not going to find too many little guys. So, but, you know, you see that in all forms of racing. That's what's cool about it.
Well, see, you bring up motorcycle racing as a point, too. And a lot of the motorcycle racing that is especially done, especially on your dirt tracks, some of your local dirt tracks, this here, the bonding agent I'm talking about, stay with Ecstasy. I believe if you just sit here and get this tried out on some of the motorcycle tracks in the area, see about getting a hold of it, let it get it worked into the track. You might see your motorcycle racers running a lot more side by side, and maybe running right there, right close together, because it helps pull in the competition, because it helps widen the groove out and everything, to where you can have, say, a 3-4 wide motorcycle groove track. You never know what kind of racing you could end up bringing out on it. just incorporating this product into the track. And that's what we're trying to do on these dirt tracks with the big cars, just trying to get incorporated. But we have used it on go-kart tracks as well. And this, so what we're trying to do is help put a competitive edge back into motorsports with the product.
That's cool. Very cool. I mean, I actually have run motorcycles on go-kart tracks, so I know exactly how you do it, how you would, you know, benefit from that kind of thing. So that is very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very cool.
It's a work in progress.
Well, hey, is there, how do you find out information about it? Do you have like a website for that or something?
Okay. What you can do, you can find Dane Miller on Facebook.
Dane Miller?
Dane Miller on Facebook. He's the head of it. He makes the chemical and all himself and all. Right now, it's like his part-time job, what he does, but he takes his weekends and goes out to these tracks. We got several tracks that have already bought the year's supply of it. We got Cherokee Speedway up in Gaffney, South Carolina on it. We've got tracks over in Abilene, Texas that have always been one group tracks. Now they're seeing two and three wide racing out there in Texas where it stays so dusty because of the wind and everything. So the product is really starting to prove itself out and really make its racing. We're just trying to get it spread. So they can contact Dane Miller on Facebook, and there may be a Stay With Ecstasy page, Facebook page, they can find out, they can send a message to as well.
Okay, I'm going to look into that and see if I can find some of that. Thank you.
Oh, it's
good
no
stuff.
Problem. It's a big help to motorsports.
Outstanding. Russell, thank you for calling in. That's great, and we hope you enjoy a fine day of racing down there in Georgia, and we wish you, obviously, a very happy Memorial Day weekend. Real good stuff. Real good stuff. It's a bucket list, Russell. I got to get down there to Georgia and hook up with you one day. Absolutely.
Hey, let's do it, man. Let's do it. I got several. You need to get it. We can kind of make like a 2 or 3 week vacation out of there. I can take you to at least 2 or 3 of my best tracks, or they all run on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know, I can let you hit my 3 best ones around this area that I go to, and you can see some fine racing at all 3 of them.
I bet I would. I bet I would, and I bet the Vittles are pretty good down there, too. You know the places I would, right? You know the best places.
Scribbling Motor Speedway if you want the best Vittles.
There you go.
You got the best concession stand there is. I mean, full soul food plate for about $7-8 with a drink. I mean, three vegetables and a meat or whatever for $8-9. Got the old grandmas in there cooking it, so you know you're getting some good home vittles.
Absolutely.
Hey, Uncle Mark. I think we should get once I get back out east. I think we should get the Piggly Wiggly Goody Headache Powder Ford Fusion packed up, and
we're
going to
fill that up with Sunoco Race Fuel, and we're heading down.
We'll head on down there to Georgia in the Ford Fusion.
I think it'd be a fine idea. I think that would be a fine idea because we know we would have Russell at least as our first stop. We could stop and spend at least a day or two with Russell and go out. I think that'd be outstanding.
Let's work on trying to make it happen then.
All right, Russell. Thanks so much for calling in. You're always welcome. Feel free to give us a call. Well, you know where we are, and we're here most Sundays, unless there's a NASCAR, Saturday night race. We come to you on Friday night. But thanks for checking in, Russell. I'll say, gentlemen, I have friended Russell at his Facebook page. So, Russell, do me a favor. If you get a chance, take a few pictures today when you're down there tracking at Georgia and put them up on your Facebook page so I can have a look and give you a like on those.
All right, I'll do that. I'll try to get about a good 30 pictures before I upload them. I try to get it while I've got some of each class and all, and I'll try to do that, and I get them uploaded as soon as I can. Right now, let us get on down into the track so we can work on getting to Stay With XC into the track prep so we know we can have some good racing. And I appreciate you guys, and I'll try to get back in touch with y'all next week. Let's just see how things are flowing.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Thanks again, Russell. Russell from Georgia, and have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks again. That was awesome.
Very, very cool. Yeah, good guy. He's a good guy. You know, like I say, you can just tell from the way he's a good old racing, dyed-in-the-wood racing guy, and very cool. We thank him very much for giving us a call. And there you go, folks. You can do it. It's that simple. You pick up the phone, 347-826-9964. We're just a couple of guys, a couple that know what they're talking about, and then, well, there's me, you know, sitting around talking a little bit of motorsports today on a Sunday afternoon. We can probably jump over the pit wall and talk a few things. We're at the top of the hour here. It's just about 12 noon. So maybe what we could do, there, talk a little bit of the pit wall. You guys get some in the pits. Now that's best.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right. That's why we don't get real guests on this show. Listen, I did see a story, and I'm just going to a story. I shared it over with him, and I just want to get your opinion on ESPN, Outside the Lines. These guys are getting a reputation. We've seen it before in different stories in sports. When ESPN goes outside the lines, you know that probably there's something to it. And the timing was, in my opinion, related to the holiday we commemorate. Hard to admit, we just, nowadays in 21st century America, we simply celebrate Memorial Day. But we do. I mean, we see it as the kickoff of the summer. We see it as a good reason to barbecue. It's a great time to get together with family and friends. But in fact, of course, you know, it's kind of a deeper thing from its origin, that we recognize, you know, veterans. We recognize those that have given the greatest measure of their worth so that we in America could enjoy, you know, the freedoms and the liberties that, you know, we still have. And irrespective of what your thoughts are of America, it really is, as Frat House Mike, I think, said yesterday, it still is the greatest country and the freest country in the world. So, you know, we should be considered grateful. We should consider ourselves grateful for it. But here comes this story of a Patricia Driscoll. And we recall who she is, the one-time main squeeze of Kurt Busch. She is, as we've learned, already recognizes the president of the Armed Forces Foundation. Now, it's a charity that aims to help veterans in need. NASCAR is very closely affiliated to the Armed Forces Foundation. They're not alone. There are other sports and sports-related entities which closely align themselves with the organization. And listen, who wouldn't? You know, who wouldn't want to be associated with it? I mean, that's a fact. You know, in 2001, a very then volunteer group was struggling to provide for aid to veterans on many different levels. And they were doing it with only about $100,000 generated revenue, again, all volunteer group. Well, fast forward to 2013, which was just a year and a half ago. And under Ms. Driscoll, this charity boasted more than $13 million in revenue. And really, going forward, there appears to be no end in sight to the good that they can now do. And that, you know, especially true as our nation receives more and more veterans home to the states from, you know, Middle East service. And it, to me, I mean, that is a wonderful thing that this generation of that kind of revenue could be used to help wounded warriors as they return home, help them reacclimate to society. But ESPN purports that there's a little funny business with the works and maybe a little fuzzy business with the books. And long story short, and we've posted this up on our Frat House Sports Facebook page, so please get over to our Frat House Sports Leaf Spaces Facebook page. Look for the purple icon. Give us a like, and you can find this article, and you can read for yourselves and digest and comment on it. Ms. Driscoll evidently is alleged to not only be making a substantially large living from this nonprofit, But additionally, the alleged idea that she is siphoning off the top additional bonus money, which is greatly frowned upon by 501c3 world, you know, nonprofits, while also using the, what can I call it, the leverage of the foundation's liquidity for personal credit relief and purchase power. An insider to whom ESPN claims to have had intimate contact with and from whom ESPN claims to have seen spreadsheets and documentation is filing a complaint to the FBI under the federal whistleblower statute. The IRS now sits waiting in the wings. You know, the question, well, is there really missing money? Well, perhaps there is, perhaps not. But even repayment back to a 501c nonprofit is still considered illegal. I bring this up, you know, in a funny way, the Aaron Hernandez story on the NFL side. You know, Aaron Hernandez, he's now in jail. He's never going to see the light of day, let's be honest. I mean, you know, he's essentially convicted of murder. He's facing even more charges of the man will never see the light of day. So come up, and they are placed in under the NFL sports category, and that's where we see stories of this man. I tend to write them off because, to me, he's irrelevant. He is not NFL. He's relegated to being a rat in prison. So I talk about him to be somewhat trite and insignificant. He doesn't belong in the same breath as talking about the sport of the NFL. Well, kind of like that, here I find Driscoll to be the same as it relates to NASCAR. She's not a NASCAR story. However, as a result of the grooming of domestic violence, Kurt Busch and his eventual vindication and return to the sport, having no charges been proved against him, here comes Patricia Driscoll. And, of course, the Sports Foundation very closely aligned, as I say, to NASCAR. NASCAR embraces the whole idea. Here on Memorial Day, and I'm starting to question, gentlemen, and feel free to with your thoughts. I'm starting to question, in fact, you know, who is benefiting the most from the Armed Forces Foundation revenue? Because it certainly sounds as though the president is happily sitting atop the throne, which, you know, always makes me wonder, you know, isn't it believe that simply by virtue of putting someone in a position of responsibility that they will therefore behave responsibly? What's your take on the story? Did you gentlemen have a chance to look through it?
Well, I'm gonna let Mr. Sidekick go because I know he has some thoughts on Ms. Driscoll, and then I'll add in at the end. Go ahead, Sidekick.
Well, you know, first of all, you're talking about screwing with veterans. And, you know, that right there ranks up on one of, you know, some of the top, you know, most heinous crimes that can possibly be committed by an individual. But I also have to say, you know, here's this woman that, you know, when, you know, it came out, you know, domestic abuse charges, Kurt Busch was, you know, slammed my head and, you know, he's got anger management issues. I'm such an upstanding individual, and, you know, he's evil, and, you know, she was put up on this pedestal. Lo and behold, as this whole thing has started to play out over the past year or so, come to find out, this woman is a little, trying to keep this a PC show, but bit of a character that needs some morals, I think.
Unscrupulous.
Yeah, that's a good word. Unscrupulous.
Yeah.
I like that word.
Yeah.
Mark came up with it.
You know, here she is. She's, you know, she's flying her little rug rat kid all around the country, you know, on, you know, using the funds that, you know, are supposed to be used for veterans, you know, wounded warriors and stuff like that. She's buying $20,000 worth of Persian rugs. She was rent, you know, the headquarters is in a building that she owns, and they're paying rent to her.
Yeah, the building itself is not exactly, from what we understand and all the it was supposed to be a residence. That is how it is zoned. It is not zoned to be, per se, and even that continues to be questioned. This thing has exploded, Sidekick, into 21 full-time employees from an all-volunteer group as little as 14 years ago when it started.
Right. You know, she's paying, you know, supposedly according to this report, she's paying her credit card bills with the money. She's funding a company that she owns, you know, off of, you know, the bank account. You know, this whole thing stinks. And if this comes out, you know, I mean, but I do agree with you. This isn't really NASCAR news. You know.
Yeah, she's only kind of loosely tied to NASCAR at this point, I would guess. You know, I mean, apparently she's been what you call a, you know, driver chaser for a while. You know, she's been linked to more than one guy over the years. In other words, like, I guess she wants to, I guess in her mind, she'd like to be a NASCAR wife, if she, I guess, and nobody will have her, I take it, or something along those lines. There's clearly, you know, more than one guy involved with this, not just Kurt Busch, from what you read.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a lifestyle she might be looking for, that, you know, that's how she's linked to NASCAR. And unfortunately for NASCAR, they're going to have to deal with the tie like the NFL does with Hernandez. Unfortunately, you know, because the association's made, the media don't tend to let that go, unfortunately.
I find it to be most disturbing only because, you know, I guess to echo what you, I mean, here we have in the name of, you know, freedom, in the name of, we're doing the right thing by our veterans. Here we find that perhaps unsavory practices and some chicanery goes on, and, oh yes, no, the books are fixed. They're fixed. They were broken, but they're fixed. Well, you know, I don't like to hear the word fixed and nonprofit used in the same breath, because to me that kind of runs contrary. And especially, again, at this time of year, I don't think it was a surprise that ESPN was ready to drop the bomb, as it were, on the Driscoll affair for Memorial Day, you know, a day we set aside particularly. Most Americans won't recognize again until Veterans Day, which falls in November. Those are the two times a year we try and stop and tip our hat and consider, are we grateful for what we have? Succulent pageantry and these large galas, which, you know, include NASCAR and friends, and let's all get together and celebrate what we do for our veterans. Meantime, you know, veterans sitting in the street with, you know, broken and malformed, having returned to America, to an America that they don't even remember that they were fighting for. I think it's wrong. I think it's indecent. And quite frankly, I hope, if in fact the allegations are true, they throw the book at this woman and throw her out of office altogether. That's just my take. This one got to me, folks. This one got to me. Yeah, I know. Well, here's what
well deserved, I believe.
Yeah. I don't want to drag everybody down. It's about the quarter after the hour. You know what we should do is, give us a little NHRA update, because we are running the Kansas Nationals out there in Topeka.
Yes, we are. We are out in Kansas in the Heartland. We're at Heartland Park in Topeka, actually, this afternoon. One of those rare times where we're actually going to get race days back to back. It happens again next month where we'll have like 3 weeks in a row where we're going to have NHRA heats going back to back to back. It doesn't happen too often. So last week we were out at Atlanta Dragway, and just to give you a real quick rundown on how things went with that particular event, in Top Fuel, Antoine Brown came out on top, and there we go with the DSR cars again. But take a look here. Who did he run against in the final? How about Lee Pritchett? Holy smoke, she was on fire last week. And I got to tell you, I was really, really impressed to see that. And we're going to see something similar to that here shortly as we take a look at the ladders for Top Fuel again today. I believe she's in somewhere, I think she's in the top five for today going into the finals out in Topeka. Over in Funny Car, real quick, Tim Wilkerson got his first win since 2011. How do you like that one against Ron Capps? And there goes the DSR name. That one went down. But Tim Wilkerson, and again, we're going to see here when we take a look at the Funny Car ladder, I think you're going to see Tim Wilkerson up there near the top. And Pro Stock last week, Jason Line beat Greg Anderson. Rivalry between those two guys that goes back quite a few years, and Jason Line won that. Now, again, what do the standings look like right now? Antoine Brown is at the top in Top Fuel, 53 points ahead of Tony Schumacher. Ron Capps, Matt Hagen, 1-2 in Funny Car. There's the DSR thing, 21-point difference there. Matt Hagen, 21 points behind Ron Capps. Over in Pro Stock, Jason Line, 32 points ahead of Erica Enders. Don't sleep on Erica Enders, I'm going to tell you. Well, that didn't sound right, did it?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I was going to say something similar when you mentioned Leah Pritchard, but I won't go there.
Yeah, I got you on that one. But, no, I was just going to say, listen, Erica Enders goes into today. I'll go backward. Erica Enders goes into today. She's at the top of the ladder. She is number one in Pro Stock out in Kansas today. So you got Erica Enders in there at number one, Greg Anderson number two. So we'll see how Pro Stock goes. I think if Erica were to get that win today, I believe that might be her third Wally for the season. Holy smokes. Now, over in Funny Car, who's got the number one spot? How about Chad Head? Yeah, really. Chad Head's got the top spot. Tim Wilkerson, though, as I mentioned, number two. Three, you got the cruiser in there, Pedregon. Four, here comes our DSRs, Ron Capps. John Force is a number five on that one. Top Fuel, Antoine Brown, number one in Kansas. Number two, Richie Crampton. Three, Tony Schumacher. J.R. Todd in the fourth spot, and Sean Langdon in the five spot. Should be a great, great day of racing to cap off what is a wonderful day of motorsports. This is our fourth class that we're going to be seeing today.
Wow, that's just a lot of racing. That's
yep.
For sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's outstanding. That's just outstanding. Yeah, the Wilkerson thing, kind of a surprise for Out of House Mike. He had to beat John Force, right, in order to win that Wally. Is that right?
Do I have the right category?
I think that is the way that went. Yeah, that's
that
right.
May have been. Yeah, I'd have to go take a look
again,
at the ladder from last week. But you might be right about that.
John and his daughter had to square up against each other. We see that quite often. That's sort of it's a diminishment in a way. You know, you'd like to see both of them be able to advance on a separate rung of the ladder, you know, to go further. But we did. I sat with Frat House Mike and I caught some of those heats last weekend. And what do we know about the Patriots thing on the gum out, Leah Pritchett vehicle?
That's Leah Pritchett,
Did we find anything out about that? Is there some Deflategate stuff going on? Was she running on flat tires, Frat House Mike?
Those tires look pretty inflated to me when they went down the down the track. I got to tell you, I have a sneaky suspicion. I'm not exactly certain what the connection is, but I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't know, Brandon, maybe you've got some clue into it. Lee Pritchett runs around on her Top Fuel car. She's got the Patriots logo right there, clearly displayed. And I just have a funny feeling it might just be her favorite team. I think that's what the case is.
Or maybe the owner.
I'm not sure the tie-in. I've seen it myself, though. I'm not sure how that ties in.
Well, I can't imagine that Kraft is actually funding any money over there. I don't
know.
But
now I'll see if I can find something here.
Listen, he's got $1 million to throw away on inflated footballs. You would think he might have a couple of bucks for Lee Pritchett.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, folks. We're going to have to speed up for the sidekick. Before I do, I'll just give us a quick update on the fantasy that we do our Eat My Dust picks. The current leaderboard, Brandon still remains at the top with 5 points. Sidekick remains in second with 20 points. Yours truly, Uncle Mark, I sit there with 18 points. None of our drivers didn't get Tadlowski finished 10th. Martin Truex, Sidekick's pick last week, finished 9th. And I took Jamie Murray. He finished 13th. But in fact, he closed the gap a little. He did the right choice. He had Jeff Gordon to win. Jeff Gordon placed 4th, so that gave Frat House Mike a couple of more points. So Frat House Mike, 16 points total for our Eat My Dust picks. On the other side of it, in fantasy, Bill Oil Kane is running away with this thing right now. In our car. Fantasy group. We need Sidekick and tell us who are the winners today in the 600 down in Charlotte.
Well, one thing we're going to have to watch, normally we watch these races, you might see an engine expire or, wrecks, tires, stuff like that. This race is the longest race of the season. We're talking 600 miles. And once you hit that 500-mile mark, start watching the cars because you will start to see engines failing in that last 100 miles. I don't know what it is about that last 100 miles, but those engines, they start going. So, excuse me. So, fantasy picks. Let's get to them. For the show team, Reed's Eastbound and Downers, which is really Downers this year. We're going to run. we're in that slump. We're going to run number 4, Kevin Harvick. We're going to run the 48 of Jimmy Johnson. We're running the 78 of Truex Jr. We're running the 38 of David Gilliland, and we're running the 55 of Mr. David Reagan. We're going with Johnson as winner and Chevy as manufacturer. Now, for spring rubber, we're going to run the 4 of Kevin Harvick. We're going to run the 88 of Dale Earnhardt Jr. We're running the number 2, Brad Keselowski. The 38, David Gilliland. 23, J.J. Yaley. And we're going with Keselowski for the winner, and Ford is the manufacturer.
Wow.
Eat my dust.
Different. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my eat my dust. Decisions. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go with Brad.
There we go.
He looked good in the All-Star race.
We're going with the number 2, Real good. Anybody else want to throw in their fantasy? We need to do our Eat My Dust picks. Brandon, you want to kick that off?
Sure.
If you want to share your fantasy roster, feel free to do that.
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. I'm going to go with that Kurt Busch and number 4, Kevin Harvick. Brad Keselowski's on my fantasy team. David Reagan and Chase Elliott, and I'm going with Kevin Harvick as the winner and Chevy as the manufacturer, and I'm also going with Kevin to win the Eat My Dust because I think Kevin Harvick, he's been up front for a lot of this. He's led almost every practice, I think,
I think the team and him will find a way to outlast the 600 miles. That's just the way I see it. So we'll see. That's who I'm going with, Kevin Harvick.
All right, folks, you heard first. Brad House, Mike, what do you want to kick in there?
Well, I'll say this.
I know what's coming.
Why can't we just get in the running car?
Gentlemen, I feel very, very good about this team right here.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
I think you're going to see a pattern here. All right, fantasy-wise.
Hey, I'm an excellent driver.
How about Ken sits up at the top? How about Carl Edwards? How about I got to put Kyle Busch back in there? Truex and Reagan. You see a trend there?
Toyota.
Yeah, sounds like JGR.
Yep, absolutely, JGR. My dust is Carl Edwards today.
I'm going with Carl Edwards.
Concrete Carl, the 600. All right, well, I guess what I'll do, I'll get the wheel again.
500?
No, actually, see, we can't get good help here. It's actually the 600, not the 500 this week. For my eat my dust, I tend to agree with the sidekick. This is going to be a long and difficult and arduous race, not only on the driver but on all of the equipment. So I don't know it who starts up front, but I think it will very much, as he points out, who's still running after like 500 miles or more. Got to go with a engine. I think that's going to be either a Chevy or a Ford. I kept going back and forth. But ultimately, I'm going to put my money down on the 78 Martin Truex Jr. I think this will be the one, and I think it'll be a very sweet victory when he does win it, considering he didn't make the vote. He didn't make the cut last week's race, which I think he could have won had he been in there. So I'm going to put all the marbles on the 78 Martin Truex Jr. As the Eat My Dust pick. So there
that's a popular pick. I'd love to see him win. I would root for him.
Absolutely.
If he's in it at the end, and even if it's against Harvick, I would probably root for 2X just because I want to see him get a win.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand all of the picks. I certainly understand the two. Get a four. I would like to see a Gibbs actually do it, and I think of the ones in Fred House, Mike, I think you picked a good one with the 19. Pence already has a win in hand. Hamlin has a win in hand. This is going to be interesting to see how well Kyle can maintain a long, mm-hmm. long, hard, hard day in
yep.
the car. So I don't discount him as a top 10, but I tend to like your pick of the ones you mentioned. I can see Concrete Carl having the stamina. He's won here before, so I mean this is not a bad track for him. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be fun to watch. That one kicks off a little bit later today, folks. About 6:15, 6:18, 6:20 will be green flag. Well, I've gotten the word. We only have about 90 seconds to go. It'll be more like 60 seconds to go. So just a reminder, folks, we do broadcast all week long. So if you've joined us today, come back and join us next Sunday. We'll do the same thing again at 11 a.m. Tomorrow night, join us for the Stitches program, all sports, with hosts John and Link. Tuesday night is Fred with his group, cast of characters. They will be giving you all MLB. The cleanup hitters program on Thursday, it's our Frat House Sports Show. That's our flagship program, number 194, we're counting to. This week, that brings everybody together. And, of course, next Saturday, sit back, relax. At 2 p.m. with Frat House Mike on the Frat House Saturday program. Gentlemen, enjoy the day. Thank you so much for coming aboard with us. And all you folks out there, once again, happy Memorial Day weekend to you from us all here at Frat House Sports. Enjoy the racing. Enjoy the motor. Don't forget to always kick the tires. We'll be back, and hopefully we will join you again next Sunday at 11 a.m.
Damn it.